Okay, so in the previous pasuk, pasuk yud, which we did yesterday, okay, we learned yesterday the siroi sechem otod, and we translated this to mean referring to the children of the wicked, which will unfortunately develop into wicked, even more wicked. The children will outdo. The concern is the children will end up outdoing their parents in the evil. And David here is being spalled that Hashem should eliminate the wicked in advance. Hashem should eliminate the wicked before they mature. We mentioned that this is similar to the principle of the ben soirer umoirer. And this is a very big dilemma. This is a very difficult concept in Hashkafa, because there is seemingly a contradiction in Mamore Chazal. Many of us are familiar with the concept that by Yishmael, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu only judges a person ba'asher hu sham, even though Hashem knew what Yishmael's descendants would do to Klal Yisrael. Yet It's the laning of the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Ba'asher hu sham, right now this child has not done any harm, and therefore he is not deserving to suffer. What will be in the future? No, it has not happened yet. So what? Doesn't matter. You cannot go hold the person accountable for what's going to be in the future. On the other hand, when it comes to the Ben Sarah Moira, he's already judged in advance. Ba'asher, even though he's only 13 years old, the parsha of Ben Sarah Moira only applies to a person who is between 13 and 6 months, and he stole a small amount of money, and yet he's judged al shem sofer. Okay, obviously there are many answers to this question. There are many good answers, but it's like all a lot of these type of things. With all of the brilliant answers, ladies, welcome back. Shalom aleichem. With all of the good answers, it's still disturbing. It's still sometimes, you know, the question is still better than the answer. Yeah, there are technical answers that the Ben Soirer Umoira already has exhibited signs. He already has committed a felony. He's done an Avera. And Yishmael didn't do anything yet. Okay, I mean, there are many answers, but the bottom line is, okay, Ben Soirer did a crime, but he didn't kill anyone yet. I mean, he stole some meat, he stole some money, he bought meat and yayin. It's very difficult, and obviously only Hashem knows how to, it's a tough question. In this example, David over here is being mispalel that the children of the wicked people should be eliminated in advance. Look, you have the same principle when it comes to Amalek. Hashem said, but Amalek, you have to wipe out the women, the children. If you don't wipe them out, I'm telling you what the future will bring, will come back, they'll haunt you. And when you come into the Kenanim, Hashem said, wipe them all out. Don't leave over any survivors. They're going to be litzinim b'tzideichem, litzinim b'eineichem, litzininim b'tzideichem. It's a very tough parasha. It's a very tough parasha to people that have not yet done a crime. Hashem says, I'm telling you, I know the future, eliminate them now. David here is following in that Mahalik, and he's...
Everybody except the... And even Shmuel is showing tendencies towards violence and...
Did he? Was he already showing tendencies?
Yeah, you know the little William Tell thing that he pulled with Yitzchak?
Okay, I'm not sure. That was Levi. He was Mitzachik. That was later. That was after he was born. We find that Yishmael was exhibiting signs of rishis after the birth of Yitzhak. But the time when he was dying, and Hagar, wait, what age was he then? I'm getting all confused. At what point in time was that?
Well, because his mother was lording it over. Oh yeah, you're right. It would be before.
So if it was before, he didn't yet show those signs. He really went sour. He turned sour after the late as Yitzhak. But before the late Asi Yitzchak, Hagar was lording over a Sarah. So Sarah said to Avram, "See the mere you, see the mere her, get rid of her." And when she went, she took the child with him. And then, all right. So it's very this is not our topic today. It's a very, very complicated thing. But
somebody just told me that the done the cops course is only the year. The Katrila, 5 year old business.
That's a mouthful you just said. You reminded me, what, there's another part, only with the evidence, something very similar to like a perm joke. Will come to me later. Right, any event.
But I'm reminded of, let's say, a 13 year old steals from her parents to buy drugs to feed a drug habit. You have a similar situation there.
Okay, exactly. This is a mystery. It's really a mystery, and there are many answers. I didn't prepare the answers today. There are many answers. But after everything said and done, the question is still very, very, a very tough question. Why is it that in certain situations, HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands that a person be eliminated before he becomes evil, and in other situations, we have a principle, Ba'asher Hu Sham. At this moment in time, no. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehiyeh Bedvaroi.
Amen.
Haman's sons? No, Haman's sons already were guilty. They're the ones who wrote the sitna. It seems that Haman's sons were guilty, already committed terrible crimes. The 10 sons of Haman committed crimes. They're the ones who Rashi in the Megillah says they are the ones who wrote the sitna. It's a beautiful Rashi in the middle of Megillah's Esther. He goes through the whole Chazal. The whole puts the entire story of Purim in perspective by connecting it to the Aseres B'nei Haman in Sefer Ezra, describing exactly what they did that was the Hakdama to the story of Purim. In any event, David over here, according to what we learned yesterday, the reason why I'm bringing this out is because since what we're learning over here is a tremendous Chiddush, the other Mefarshim, I'm going to read over here, mainly the Radak, the Malbim, and the Targum, they learned the Pasuk very differently. And their different interpretation, to some degree, takes away the difficulty with what Rashi and the Mitzudas David says. Rashi and the Mitzudas says, B'terem yavinu siro seichem otod. Otod means a trunk. Siro seichem, according to Rashi, means soft twigs. A soft twig. Twigs of we're dealing with a thorn bush, and the siro seichem, the thorns are soft. They're not so painful yet. They're not yet mature. The otod is when it becomes a trunk, when it becomes hard, and it becomes a major problem where it's not so easy to get rid of, to uproot, and the danger of the otod, of what it can do, of the branches and the thorns that it produces, is much, much more dangerous and much more difficult to eliminate. So David is mispalo, and it says the word yovinu, and yovinu is a very powerful word. They have comprehension. And he learns that we're dealing with the children of the Rishoyim. Before the children of the Rishoyim, before they develop the maturity, the understanding, how to take their evil and to weaponize it and bring upon people tsar, may you Hashem destroy them. And you should destroy them the way Rashi learns, with a fury, kimochai, like a healthy young person goes out on a mission to destroy, kimochoroin, as the person destroys with an anger, yis orenu, miloshon sa'ar, as if there was a samach instead of a sin, you should, like a storm, you should thoroughly uproot the children of the wicked before they develop the sophistication to follow in the ways of their parents and do even greater harm than their parents have done. That's what we learned.
Wouldn't it have been nice if they had davened, like Ashes Rabbi Meir, Yitamu Chatoyim in Aris? Davened they should do tshuva.
Excellent question. Yes, a really good question. When do you say that, and when do you say this? Exactly. Obviously, every situation has everything in life is about balance. There's no one size fits all. In certain situations, you have to be mispalled that they do teshuva. And in some situations, they're not going to do teshuva. They're too far gone. It's just not going to happen. And then you have to be more practical, pragmatic in dealing with a danger. Where do you draw the line? Where is the balance? I don't know. People, teachers, principals, they have this dilemma. They have students in the school that are disturbing the class. They're really preventing the class from growing. So they want to throw them out of the yeshiva. Is it the right thing to do? What are the consequences? What's going to happen to these students if you throw them out of the yeshiva? What kind of life are they going to end up having? Where do you draw the line? there is no answer. Every situation is unique, and every situation needs to be understood the full depth. And even then, you need enormous siyat d'shmaya. What is the proper decision to make? David over here obviously does not feel that for these wicked people that he's dealing with, that is the solution is they should do teshuva. He's dealing over here, by the way, who's the focus? The focus is a very great people, Avner and Amosa, Achitofel, Yoav. These were incredibly brilliant people. And he's referring over here to their children. Is that who he's referring to? That's what it seems like, is that before the little ones get bigger and they're going to follow in the ways of their parents. And these young people, they're going to be even more sophisticated. They have a head start. And they're going to make even more trouble for the world. So therefore,
we don't have to go far. Or in the Palestinians, in the kindergarten.
We mentioned this. They teach them how to kill.
The mass problems is when you kill one Jew and then you kill another one. How many Jews
wow.
do you kill?
Wow.
That's one of the questions.
Right.
We're talking about babies.
Babies, exactly. Years. Exactly, they do this. They always
it's
they always talk about that you have to educate the children to not have hate from the crib. If you're going to teach them in the crib in the kindergarten to have hate, there's no hope. It's hopeless. It's hopeless. Exactly. This is a very powerful passage according to Rashi. We're dealing over here with the children of the wicked before they mature. And the word siro seichem, according to Rashi in the Mitzvah, this means a soft thorn. A soft, immature branch of a thorn tree. Atad is the trunk of a mature thorn bush which is not easily removed. Now, and kumochai kumoy charon yis orenu refers, according to Rashi, it's very important this point, kumochai, the subject of the chai and the charon yis orenu is Hashem. Hashem in his activity of uprooting evil from this world, Hashem should behave with intensity. The subject is not the person that's being eliminated, but the subject is the one who is doing the elimination. Hashem should uproot the evil kimo chai, as if with the same vigor as a healthy, strong person goes out on a mission. When you go out to war, you don't send the 90-year-olds to go fight in the battle. They send out the 18-year-olds that are young, healthy, strong, and have very good, very quick reflexes. Okay, so kamochai is a word, it's a metaphor which means someone young and healthy and strong. When you, Hashem, eradicate the evil, you do it with gevura. And choroin, do it with passion. Don't just, we're going to kill you now. You have any last wish? No. You don't give him any last wish. You do it with passion. Yisarenu with a storm. Okay, that's the parish. Oh, but they didn't do anything. They don't deserve this. They're only young children. Mm-hmm. They didn't really do anything bad yet. There's a lot of precedent in Tanakh that you have to nip. Yeah, Ezeo Chacham Horoye Es Hanoilad. You see what's coming. The Torah says the Ben Sarumayra. The Torah tells you about the Canaanim. It has to be done. Amalek, you don't have a choice. David over here feels that in this particular situation, this is the only way to go. You're asking a very tough question. Oh, yitamu chatoim. It says it's chatoim and not choitim. And ba'asher on Rosh Hashanah, ba'asher husham. Where do you draw the line? I don't know. It's a real mystery. People came there. Rav Steinman was a very big into this. Principles would come for some reason in Rav Steinman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, in his lifetime, there was almost an unspoken rule in the Haredi world that before you throw out a Talmud from yeshiva, you have to get his permission. It was a very funny thing. That was the unspoken rule. If a menahel of a yeshiva wanted to throw out a student because he was causing harm to the other Talmidim in the yeshiva, you had to go to him first. And it was very easy. You can get into him very easily. You go to him in the afternoon, there were time, and you go and you tell him what the problem is, and you would ask him if you can throw out, and if you could say, yeah, 99% of the time he said you can't throw out the kid. And he gave a lot of musa to the principals. Some of them, he said to a principal once, one of the more famous stories is, what's the name of this child's mother? So the principal says, how do I know? What kind of question is that? What do you mean, what's the name of the kid's mother? So he says, you mean to tell me you would never mispalel for him? When you mispalel for someone, you have the name, and you only mispalel for deathly ill people? You're not mispalel for a Talmud that's whose neshama is in jeopardy? You're coming now to throw him out of the yeshiva, and you never once said to heal him for him? Not even once? Get out of here. Get out of here. Now it's not fair. If you're a menahel of a yeshiva, and you're not even mispalel for a Talmud, and you're coming already to throw him out of the yeshiva? And most of the time you would tell people, the reason why you want to throw him out is because of gaiva. gaiva, that was his famous, gaiva. Because he's ruining your reputation, that you're not such a good Rebbe, you're not such a good Menahel. You're not going to have a reputation of having the best Talmidim in the yeshiva. Are you trying to get rid of the student because it's not good for the Talmidim, or it's not good for you and your reputation and your parnasa? He was very tough with a lot of principles. Rav Steinman. Rav Steinman was very, very tough with people would very tough. I know they would say that I don't know all the details, but I know this is what they say. That when I was in Chaim Blum in the highest, we had a very choshev menahel, Rabbi Rav Chaim Siegel, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, and he threw out boys. He threw out quite a number of them, but he never threw out a Talmud until he himself got him into another yeshiva. He had a Rolodex. He had a Rolodex of many, many yeshivas, and when there was a Talmud in the yeshiva that wasn't the right fit for the yeshiva, so he basically, you're not allowed to just throw a kid out of yeshiva. If you took a Talmud into a yeshiva, you're responsible for him no matter what. And if you feel that he's causing harm, the rule they always say is you're causing harm to other Talmidim. He's influencing, when the class is over, come to my house. I'll give you some good stuff. We'll go some good places. Influencing other Talmidim in a way that he felt is not correct, you just can't throw him out. Where's he going to go? Into the street? You, the Menahel, he himself got on the phone and spoke with other yeshivas, other principals, his counterpart, you know, and he found for them a yeshiva that was a better fit. And he would not dismiss a student unless he himself personally was secure in knowing that the Talmud had a place to go. You just can't throw someone out into the street. So where do you draw the line? David over here is not having too much rachmanis over here. He's saying before these little children, before they become mature and hard, a trunk of a thorn bush, the goyren ha'otod, before you gotta go, and he's saying get rid of them. Okay, this is the way Rashi and the Mitzudah is David. Now the other mahalchim, I wonder if you will see what it says over here in. What it says over here in the Radak. Radak is a little bit different. It's very interesting what he says. He says that the word siroi sechem is a much simpler translation. We translate the word siroi sechem as thorns. Okay, that's an unusual translation. I forgot even where we got that from. The Mitzvah stuff is, the Mitzvah Siyon tells us.
Seer.
Seer with the tzadi?
Yeah, isn't that a
thorn? Seer with the tzadi usually means brine. I'm not sure. We until now translated the word siroi seichem to mean a thorn. Look in the Mitzudos Tzion on page 510. Anfei hakoitzim, the branches of thorns, kimo ad sirim sivuchim in Nachum. We learned this once upon a time. It means sivuchim means like a thicket. It means like a thickly densely. Sivuchim, necha basvach. Okay, that's a similar word, but sivuchim means many, like a forest. A forest that there are branches, there's a thick area of branches. So the word sirim in the context of sivuchim means a thorn, a branch of a thorn bush. That's the makar for the Metzilas Tzav and for Rashi. Look at the Radak. The Radak is a much more basic translation. The word seer means a pat. Okay, that's all over. It's all over in Chazal. Pat. So pasuk yud in the Radak on page 511. Beterem yavinu siroi sechem omar siroi sechem inyun divodim. And what does it mean, divodim? I don't know what that word means, but if it goes on to clearly explains, it refers to a pat. Kimo v'yosisa siroi sof. A dud is a pot. They have a solar heat. A container. A container. Okay, I guess it means divodim means container. It's kimo v'yosisa siroi sof. It's a pasuk in the Torah. You shall make siroi sof. You shall make a sir nafuach, a pat, right? That's bubbling, that's boiling. It's a common word. V'derech v'nemar v'derech mashul l'mihirus avdam in ha'olam, and therefore we're now referring to the children. According to the Mitzuda, according to the Radak, we don't have to deal with this hashkafic difficulty of it's not fair to destroy a child before he has committed an avera. Okay, so he says it's referring to the adults. And the mashal over here is that the wicked should perish swiftly. They should not even realize what's happening to them. Like you put up a big pot of cholent and everything is raw, and you put it on the range and there's a fire burning underneath it. It takes a good half an hour until it begins to bubble. Until the fire, you know, then after it begins to bubble, then it takes a good hour for it to cook. You have to let it cook for a period. So the make-believe, the meat inside, was a living creature. And it's like a little bit of a joke. The fish wakes up one morning and he smells fish. Who's cooking fish? And the balabas looks, you're cooking fish. You're my breakfast today. You're cooking. You're in the pot. You're cooking. I'm going to eat you up soon. So make believe the pieces of meat are living creatures, and they're in the pot. And underneath the pot is under a big, massive fire. But it takes time until the water boils, and the piece of meat, the pot senses, wait a minute. Who's cooking? Who's cooking fish? Who's cooking meat over here? What's going on over here? So that's what the pasuk says. They should be obliterated before the meat inside the pot even realizes what's going on, that it's being burnt up. In other words, it's a very powerful mashal. Very powerful mashal over here is that a rasha, there is no. What the pasuk over here is saying, this really what goes on to say in the next two psukim, is that there is no question the wicked people will get what they deserve. There's no question about that. A rasha will get. The only question is, will we be around to see it? Because Hashem has all the time in the world, and Hashem does not necessarily punish and reward immediately. There is a delay when, in the right time, David is asking Hashem not that he should punish the wicked. Of course they're going to be punished. He's asking Hashem to punish them now. Accelerate the process, so that I can see it and that my and other people can see it. Because if you're going to wait until it will play out naturally in 10, 20, 30, 40 years, there's not going to be a Kiddush Hashem, because people are not going to be able to connect the dots. The greatest punishment and reward is for sure going to happen. There's no doubt about that. But there's a Kiddush Hashem that results when people are able to see the Mida Keneged Mida. They're able to see that there's reward and there's punishment. And not only is there reward and punishment, there is Mida Keneged Mida. If there is a delay of a significant amount of time, it's very hard for the people to connect the dots. So David's Bakasha is, I want there to result from this a greater Kiddush Shem Shemayim. And the only way that can happen is if the punishment is accelerated. This is the famous Ramban, we always mention this Ramban, is that what is the chiluk between living in Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael? Today, what's the mile? Today, go to Eretz Yisrael. People will tell you, you know, going to Eretz Yisrael, it's not so easy. Okay, parnasa-wise, it's a very big adjustment. It's a different culture. It's a very different type of society, governed by a very different type of government, what we're accustomed to in America. There are a lot of problems. So what are the milas? So why do you want to go live in Eretz Yisrael? What, because you like the weather? Really? Is that the reason why you want to go live in Eretz Yisrael? So go to Florida. Go to L.A. What are the milas? There's no Beis HaMikdash. You can't bring Kurbanos. What's the mila? Okay, so I'm saying nonsense, of course. It's Eretz HaKodesh. But let's talk practical. Let's talk really, really practical. Let's not talk religion. Let's talk practical matters. What is the mila of living in Eretz Yisrael? The Ramban says, you know what the mila is? Everything in the way Hashem, even though it's religion, I'm saying, but it's not even religion, it's almost like there's a reality. In Eretz Yisrael, the midah keneged midah is accelerated. A person does a mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael, you will see the reward of that mitzvah swiftly, relative to seeing the reward in Chutz La'aretz. You do the same exact mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz. You have a nesoyon, and you're omid in the nesoyon. So Hashem rewards. You have to have emunah. Hashem will provide reward. Will you see that reward? Well, in Chutz La'aretz, it may take 50 years to see the reward. And 50 years, a lot can happen. A person can leave the world even. A person can get distracted with a lot of things. And when the reward finally comes down, you'll never make the connection. Oh, wow. I see what I did, my chesed boomeranged. It came back to me. Or if a person does an avera, later, 50 years later, why am I suffering? What did I do? What did I do? Oh, you forgot you did exactly this. In Eretz Yisrael, the reward and punishment is accelerated. It happens very quick. Mimela, you there's much less of a chance to be distracted from acknowledging that there are consequences for your behavior. And that automatically, without you even realizing it, changes your approach to life and your emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, if you put your hand in a fire, so for the first half a second, it doesn't hurt. After 1 second, it hurts. So for the first half a second, in Eretz Yisrael, it hurts immediately. Immediately, everything is accelerated. And it automatically changes your perspective, your outlook on life, to improve you to become a Yorei Shamayim. Even today. And anyone that lives in Eretz Yisrael will tell you that immediately. Everyone will tell you that right away. People who live in Chutz La'aretz and have made Aliyah, ask them this question, and they will admit in an instant that is a reality of living in Eretz Yisrael. And it comes down not just, that's why in Eretz Yisrael, there's a certain swiftness. Because you're living in the Paltoin, Paltoin Shel Melech, the palace of the king. And there's an accelerated reward and punishment. This is what the Ramban says. And David over here, according to what we're looking over here in the Red Doctor, Dagov is saying something very, very profound. The wicked, they're going to get it. Emuna Pshuta, the Rishon, they're going to get what they deserve. The question is when? How long will this take? David's prayer is nothing more than a request to accelerate punishment. Not that Hashem will punish. Of course they're going to be punished. Accelerate the punishment so that it will result in a lesson to everyone else. People see, wow, look what happened to this guy. Yeah, it's obvious. Look what he did. It's just obvious. It's not politically correct to say that. So don't say it. People know it. So it's not politically correct to say it. People are, it's obvious. This guy got what he deserved. Accelerate the punishment. So now, over here, according to the Radak, the Siroi Secha means your pots. And the pots are under a fire. They will be punishment. How long will it take for the pots to cook, for the cholim to cook? It takes time. That's why you need a blech. You may stir it in order to accelerate the process. It takes a good couple of hours. David says, eliminate them even before they realize they're being cooked. Even before they're being cooked, eliminate them, because the world needs to see that there are consequences for averus. Inyan divadim, I guess pats, v'yosisa siroi sav, v'nemar derech mashal, l'mihirus avdam min ha'olam, they should be swiftly eliminated from the world, amar v'terem yishayargishu hasirois me'esh ha'otod. Now, here we have a new problem now. What then is the word otod? If the word siroi seichem means a pat, so what is the otod? So basically it means the fire, the wood. Let's see, Atah, the tripod? Is that what you want to say it means? Let's try to see.
It's the wood under the pot.
The wood, right. So why are we using called dafka this word? Bedafka, the word atah. There are many other words. The shnei gizrei eitzim. It's a funny word. One of these words doesn't fit. If you want to learn atah, means a thorn bush. Atah means a thorn bush. The goyden ha atah. Oh, the thorn bush. Gevaldik. So what does it mean, siro seichem? We got a problem. I don't know what that word means in connection to the word of atod. Okay? So we're going to figure out it means a branch, a moist, undeveloped branch of the thorn bush. If you want to take the pshuto shel mikra for the word atod, then you're going to have to struggle with the word siro seichem. And that's what Rashi did. And that's what the Mitzvah Stavah did. They started with the word atad. We know what that word means. It means the trunk of a thorn bush. If that's what that word means, so then by from the context, it has to be, siro seichem means a twig, a moist, undeveloped, unripened twig that comes out of the branch, this trunk of a thorn bush. The Radak says just the opposite. I know that the word siro seichem means a pot. That you can argue with. No one's going to argue with that. So what does atad then mean? We got a problem. So we'll work backwards from the context of this of the word siro seichem. We'll say atad means wood. What kind of wood? Special wood, thorn bush wood, because it burns very well. Really? It burns very well. You couldn't go refer to regular wood. What's going on over here? Yeah, that's what the Radak is doing. So maybe we want to go say atod means a tripod. It means like it's like the base, the support for the pot where you insert all the fuel. Maybe, and let's see how he says the Radak says the Radak is b'terem sheyargishu hasirois the pots me'esh from the fire ha'atod asher tachtehem shehu esh she'ein loy kayama. I don't know what this means. I don't know exactly. We'll see the Malbim says something very similar.
If you put just twigs,
yeah,
it doesn't
last very long.
It's nothing.
It's gonna go away.
However, when they become attacked, the wood, then the seal will feel.
Yeah, but here it's saying is that before they detect what's happening to them.
Right. Exactly.
Now, the next major difference between the Radak and Rashi is the subject of the word chai, chroin, and those two words. So, whereas until now we learned that the subject of the chai is Hashem, when you wipe out these wicked people, their children, wipe them out with vigor, with givura. That's not the way the Radak learns. The Radak learns kimo chai means when the pieces of meat are still raw. Before, don't let evil perpetuate. Don't let evil sit around for a long time. You want to wait until a new administration comes into office and then goes and looks at the crimes of the previous administration. By that time, all those guys, they got their check and they're in another country and they're living on their yachts and everyone forgot about them. There are new problems in this world. Wipe out the wicked people, expose them for who they are while they're raw. Now, kimochai, it's beautiful what he learns over here. While kimochai, kimochadon yis orenu, While the meat in the pot is still raw. Ki lo hirgishoy hasirois, the pot doesn't even realize what's happening, that there's a fire underneath that's cooking it up. From the wood, the fire. V'loy nispashel habosar kain yovoy lechem choroin kel pisoim. May the choroin, the anger of Hashem, come upon them suddenly, b'oidim b'shalvosam, while they're in their peace and serenity. V'yis'ar kol echor mehem, they should storm. When you catch a ganaf, unexpectedly, he seems to be saying over here, yis'arenu, the yis are, this is the third difference between the Radak. Listen, this is an amazing study of the human condition. Okay, that when a person is caught in a lie, suddenly, how do they react? They go meshuggah. I know that I'm a big liar. when you get caught in your lies, okay, when you get caught in your lies. Unexpectedly, you don't respond peacefully. Oh, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. When a person is evil and they get caught unexpectedly, they explode. They explode like Meshugayim when they get caught. And that's exactly what it's here. Yis Orenu, the subject of the word Yis Orenu are the wicked. Not like Rashi and the Mitzudois, who learned that the subject is Hashem. According to Rashi and the Mitzudois, David is begging Hashem, eradicate the children of the evildoers, and how shall you do it? Let me tell you the technique. David is giving Hashem advice. Let me give you advice, Hashem. When you wipe them out, do it with koyach, gevura, and do it with passion, and when you do it, make off category 5 hurricane. It should be violent. The technique, your technique, I'm giving you advice of your technique. That's not what the Radak says. Radak says, Hashem, take these evil people and without them even realizing, suddenly, when out of a shock, like when they least expect it, throw upon them, reveal their evil. And when that's going to happen, and do it when they're kumo chai, before they heat up, when they're raw, and do it with choroin, and then, this is amazing what he says, and then when you're going to do it to them suddenly, you're going to cause them to erupt. And that's going to be the telltale sign that they're really guilty. When a person is confronted, is caught in his evil, so right away you can tell if he's guilty or not. This is the human condition, how they react. If the person really is innocent, you can't generalize, but supposedly, if a person really is innocent, is caught, and he's suspected of a crime, he's very calm. I don't know what you're talking about. He's very calm. And even if they go and they try to, you know, prosecute him, I don't know what you're talking about. But a person who deep down knows that he's guilty and is exposed, he doesn't react calmly. Generally, obviously there's some very complicated people out there who convince themselves they've done nothing wrong, and they react in a storm. They react violently. Yis Orenu. I just chazed over a whole share from Tucker Carlson. Rabbi Chol, you know what I'm talking about? I just chazed over a whole share. Everyone over here, they're very big masmidim here in the share, and they don't have time for this. Sometimes at night, I can't fall asleep. And and instead of learning a difficult taisvis, a share taisvis, you listen to a segment from Tucker Carlson. And there's a lot of chachma. Listen, the human condition is very complicated. It's a world out there. You have to understand what goes on in our minds. It's very, very complicated. And David over here, the more you study Chazal, one profession they excelled in excelled in beyond anything else, they were psychologists. They understood the human condition better than anyone else. And this goes back 2,000 years ago, or David goes back 3,000 years ago. They understood the human condition. And over here, the way the Radak learns Pshat and the Pasuk is there's so much hashkafa and chiddush. There's hashkafa, and there is an analysis of the human condition in this parish like none other. Wipe out the wicked. They're going to be punished for sure. David's bakasha is acceleration of punishment. Acceleration. And the way to get a Rasha, when he's off guard, when he's raw, he doesn't even realize that they're coming after him. And Hashem should wipe them out when he does it with choroin, and it will trigger within them a violent reaction, and that will be a confirmation of their guilt. Because if they weren't really guilty, he seems to be saying that they would not react in a sar. Again, I don't know, you know, obviously you can't generalize, you know, you can't generalize. There are people that are 100% innocent, they're accused of a crime, they explode, okay? And there are people that are guilty as sin, and they're accused of a crime, and like water off a duck. So you can't generalize. But generally, they have a lot of practice. Some of these people, they have a lot of practice. They're very smug. They have a lot of practice, but people who are in the business for the first time, generally, if a person is innocent, they're calm, and if they're hiding something and they're caught off guard and they're not experienced and knowing how to keep their mouth shut, they have a tendency to explode.
There are tells. There are various
types. All different types. Right? You can't generalize, but there are a certain general, this is psychology. This you have to ask the people who spend their whole life, they devote their whole life to understand how the mind works and to deal with this, because today there's a lot of this. Today there's a very big deal to deal with. We live a very complicated world and people need a lot of help. And you can't help a person unless you understand what's going on in their mind, which is almost impossible. So here, this is how he learns this incredible pshat in the pasuk of Yis'ar kol echad mehem. Each one, when they're caught in their evil, will explode. Now, then the Radak says the same thing as what it says in Rashi Chazer. He says what Rashi says, and what the Mitzvah says. V'yesh mefarshim. Someone learned pshat in the pasuk. V'yesh mefarshim. Sivay sechem koitzim. Okay. Now, in parish number 2, he's going to Rashi and to the Mitzvah. He's koitzim k'may kol hasidim tachas hasir. The sound of this sidim, it's mamash apostle, it means thorns. The thorns are crackling, a campfire. You hear the crackling of the thorns on the fire. So it says, beferish in the pasuk, the sidim. V'dima harishaim lekoitzim, the thorns. V'akoitzim harakim yikaru, and small thorns are called sidim. Ucheshe yigdilu, when they mature. Vehem koshim yikaru, they call atodim. The Omar, beterem sheyagiu hasidim sheyu atod. Kumo shehem chayim. Okay, that Hashem should wipe out the little thorns before they become big thorns. The little guys before they become bigger rishoyim. Kumo shehem chayim. What does it mean chayim? Kolaymar lachim. Okay, so here, even the Radak in his second interpretation, which is really the same as Rashi's interpretation, still differs in regard to the translation of the word chai, whereas Rashi and the Mitzvah David said that it's the method, gevura. The Radak says, no, it means kolayma lachim. It's just an explanation of the thorns. When the thorns are still moist, before they become hard. So it's the word chayr is going back on this siro sechem, klem alachim, kain so to choroi nokel, so to may the anger of Hashem yis oreim, Hashem should behave in a violent way, a stormy way, be'oidam b'cheskam uve b'riushem, while they're strong, chay, I don't know, he's really like they're lachim. They're moist, I guess. When they're still strong, Uperish Yovinu Yifrichu. What does that mean? When it says that Hashem should, before Yovinu, before they blossom, before the little wicked people, these little guys who are evil, before they develop and they become mature, and then who knows, they'll destroy the world. The word Mishayavinu means when they blossom. He's showing up the word Mishayavinu is a difficult word in this concept, what it means before they blossom. All right, let's quickly look at the Malbim. The Malbim says the same thing, but he gives a little bit different. You know, just everyone provides a little bit insight. When you put all the Mefarshim together, you definitely gain a much clearer insight into what the Pasuk means. In Pasuk Yud, in the Malbim, B'tedem Yavinu Siras Echem Otod, Ha'otod Boer Tachas Hasirais. Okay, so here he says the Otod is the wood. It's Boer. What is Otod? Obviously, it's some type of wood that is combustible, that produces a nice, good heat. It's Boer, K'moy Shekosov, B'kol Hasirim Tachas Hasir. When the fire begins to get hot, it takes a couple of minutes, then the pot, you know, something over here is not what it used to be. Also, it feels the heat. Oh, when the pot begins to get hot, what do you see on top of the pot? Steam! Ooh, when the pot begins to steam, you know what that means? The pot knows there's a fire burning underneath. The pot, so you see, it's very funny what he's saying. He's saying is the steam is not coming from the fire. The steam is coming from the pot. It's the pot's, I'm very angry. What are you doing underneath me? What's going on over here? What's going on over here? The pot is steaming. The Yamlitz Sha'oz Yovin Hasir, and the Moshel, the Yamlitz, this is a ton of metaphor, is then the pot understands as Otod that the Otod, there's a fire burning underneath. Ulam B'tedem Sha'ovin Hasir as Otod. David is asking Hashem before the pot gets wind of the reality that there's a fire burning. Haynu b'oid shelo hischamei min ha'esh ha'otod ha'bosra dayin chai v'midis l'ruo v'yomar shagam b'terem sh'yavinu ha'siyos ha'otod ha'gam shukum chai. Even though the meat is raw, v'ten lomar b'bosra chai shto nispashl b'chol zos k'mo choron gisorenu yis'ar v'yashlich esoy k'mo choron. So he learns that the word yis'aren is going on Hashem. Hashem should act violently against the wicked. Okay, goes on, that's the basic gist of this pasuk. Okay, now we go further. Okay, two more psukim. Yismach tzadiki chozak nokom pomov yirchatz bedam harosha. It's a very dangerous pasuk. Read the pasuk backwards. Read the pasuk backwards. You see, all you need is the our enemies to read this pasuk, and they'll go make blood libels. Okay, how many people lost their life because people accuse the Jewish people of taking the blood of children and using it for matzah? Okay, well, some learn that's why you do. That's why you by shvei chamoscha you open the door. They built into the Haggadah to make sure no one's dropping bodies in front of your front door to use as a blood libel, plant evidence, to make a blood libel and make tzaras for Klal Yisrael. Make sure you check what's going on outside. A lot of problems happen Pesach night because the Goyim, blood libels. Where do they get the material to make blood? Total nonsense. Well, you read a pasuk like this, you get scared. David says that Klal Yisrael should wash themselves in the blood. They will one day wash their feet. Pe'amav yirchatz, their feet they will wash in the blood of the Rasha. That's a scary pasuk. Would we be...
A blood bath.
But we're going to wash... Who did something like this?
It's a very
frightening pasuk. Who? What is the medrash that Paro every day slaughtered?
Children.
How many children? Hundreds. It says there's an exact number: 300 children a day, and he bathed in their blood. He had some type of disease, and his crazy doctor said, "This is the refuah. to bathe in the blood of Jewish children. And obviously the Tzahara. And they were punt. The first makkah was dam. The first makkah was dam. And here, David is saying that the tzaddik, the day will come when there will be retribution, it will be the other way around, that the tzaddik is going to bathe his feet, he will wash his feet in the blood of the Rasha. Okay, this is a very big problem, this pasuk. Okay, it's a big problem. The goyim see this pasuk, obviously, it doesn't necessarily mean to be taken literally, it's a metaphor. And we know that we would never, ever, ever, ever do anything like this. And okay, the words are, it means, obviously, it doesn't mean that we're going to do this. It doesn't mean that. It's a metaphor. It's obviously a whole page of commentary on it. But the goyim, you know, they just want to cherry pick. They just want to cherry pick and take what they want to go take and use it. Their hatred, the hatred they have is Esav son of Yaakov. When they see something like this, it's a big problem for us. So over here we have over here. Let's see what it says over here in the Mitzudas David, Yud Pasuk Yud Aleph. Pasuk in Aleph here says Ki Chozok Asher Yireh Nikmas Hashem. Okay, when the tzaddik, Yismach tzaddik ki chozo nokom, the tzaddik will rejoice when he comprehends. It doesn't say re'ir, it says chozo. Chozo means the seeing of the mind. In the Malbim, in the Ber Hamilos, he explains the difference between the word re'ir and the word chizayon. Look over here on the page 511. Chozo nokom yesh hevel bein the word ro'or uvein chozo. Shera'ahu ba'ayin, the word ra'ah is with the eyes. V'chazahu ma'ashe choyze beruach uvalev, comprehension in the mind. K'moshe b'rashli ben Yishayu. V'kamakom, it's, now, going back over here back to the past, over there, it says, back to the mitzvah stuff, b'tki chazah kasher yireh nikmas Hashem, pe'amav yirchatz, b'derech hiluchoy yirchatz raglov b'dam harasha, hanishbach ba'aretz. And the Mitzudas David, he adds things into this pasuk which is a little strange. And he's saying, if you read the pasuk at face value, you think that you come home from work, right? You sit down, oh, I'm going to wash my feet. Long, hard day of work, and you have a basin of blood. And you put your feet in the blood, and you wash your feet. Isn't that how you read the pasuk if not for the Mitzudas David? You come home from a hard day's work, your feet are aching you from... And you take off your boots, take off your socks, and you dip your feet into a pot of blood to clean your feet. Right? That's what I would think it means. But the Mitzudas David says no such thing. You don't bring the blood of your enemies in your home. God forbid. What it means is as you walk, the blood of the goyim has been spilled on the street because they killed each other. Friendly fire. They killed each other. Well, Klal Yisrael killed them. And as you travel to your destination on your way to shul, it happens to be that there's a puddle of blood of the Rishon, and your feet are bathed by stepping in these puddles on your way to shul. It doesn't make it any better, okay? It doesn't make it any better, but again, the still perception is you're coming home from work, you put your feet into a basin of blood. It's not here. It says, since it says pe'amav, I guess the reason is because it does not say in the pasuk raglov. Raglov means your feet. Pyamov means action. It's a verb. Action. Foots, it means your strides. Your feet as they are moving. If you have the word raglov, it means your feet when they're stationary. Pyamov really means your strides. You're in motion. It's like tzadav, similar to tzadav. Pyamov, you're moving. So that's why the Mitzudis David adds the word Yahaloich. His words are, Yirchatz b'derech hiluchai, as you're walking, Yirchatz, as you're traveling, Yirchatz raglov, b'dam harosha hanishpach ba'aretz. The blood of the Rosh is out in the street, and as you're walking in sandals, In Eretz Yisrael, many people, they wear sandals. They don't wear, not everyone wears shoes. And people, they wear, so yeah, they're open feet. And as you're walking, so your feet are bathed, it still doesn't really answer much in the questions. Okay, now let's look at, there is no Rashi. Okay, now there's only one, we're running out of time. There's a very famous Maimon Chazal. I want to give a little bit of an elaboration upon this. Ma'isav Asim Labanim. Look at this over here in Pasuk, in the Likutei Shas. Pasuk Yud Aleph, on the very bottom of the page. This is a very famous, classic Maimon. Everyone knows this, but this is the makor, the source of this famous Medrash, what we learned today. What was the Ma'isav? The Ma'aseh was they came time to bury Yaakov Avinu. It's not a coincidence that the previous pasuk talks about the otod, which is when they were maspid Yaakov Avinu. They did it by the goyren ha'otod, and then they took him from the goyren ha'otod to his burial place in the Ma'oras HaMachpelah. And when they arrived in Ma'oras HaMachpelah, there was someone there holding up the show. Who? Esav. A says, I'm the Bechor, there's only one burial spot left. And sorry, there's a hold up here. You're not getting it. Where's the money? $10 million. You want my burial spot? Where's the dough? You're not going. So, what do you mean? You sold the Bechorah. Oh, I did? Who says? We have a deed. You have a deed? Yeah, show it to me. Wait, let me see the deed. But the deed's back in Egypt. It takes a long time to go back there. The next plane is not scheduled to depart for a very long time. So, no tiki, no washi. You don't show me the deed, you're not going nowhere. You want to bury him now, pay up. So who went? They sent Naftali. I think they sent. So, but in the meantime, there was a person, the whole family was there, Hushim ben Don. Hushim ben Don was present. Hushim was deaf. That's why it's called Hushim Cheresh. He was deaf. And that itself is a very shocking thing. Yaakov Avinu had a deaf grandchild. And there's a lot to be said about that. Rabbi Eliezer, I'm sure you have a lot of Torah on this. What? 30 pages on this. Okay, there's a lot to be said about this. About Hushim ben Don, Dvarim Nefloim, and he didn't know what was going on because he didn't hear the conversation because he was deaf, and he said, "What's going on here? Why are we waiting for?" And they did, I guess, sign language. Okay, they communicated with him. They told him, basically said that this guy Esav, he's holding up the show. What? My Zayda? He took out his sword and chopped off his head, on the spot. And as he chopped off his head, something very important happened. It sounds like a horror movie. The eyeballs of Asa fell out. That's a very important thing. The eyeballs of Asa fell out and they rolled opposite the feet of Yaakov Avinu. The moment the eyeballs reached the feet of Yaakov Avinu came back to life. Mechaya HaMeisim. He opened up his eyes. When the eyeballs of Esav were parallel to the feet of Yaakov Avinu opened up his eyes and smiled. I have now seen sweet revenge. How do you know all this is true? It's a pasuk in Tehillim, in Mizmor Nunches. The pasuk says, Yismach Tzadik, who is the Tzadik? Yaakov. This is an amazing pasuk, because this pasuk, according to Chazal, is calling Yaakov Avinu a tzaddik. Wow! Ask the average person today, I challenge you to go out to Avenue M, stop every person you know on the street, and ask them, from the Ishei HaTanach, who's a tzaddik? Prove it to me, who's a tzaddik? Noach, Ish tzaddik, right? Noach, Tomim, Yosef, where do we know that's the Haftarah of the Bavur Na'alayim, they sold, it says there in the Pasuk, it's Tzadik Ba'ad Na'alayim. Chazal Darshan, they sold the Tzadik, Yosef is called the Tzadik. Is there anyone else in Tanakh who's called the Tzadik? I'm not aware.
God.
What?
God.
Hashem Hu Tzadik? Tzadik Hashem Chol Derochav. Okay, so go the whole Tanakh. You're not going to get to the on Avenue M. more than three people who are called the Ishaya Tanach. Hashem is a tzaddik, Noach is a tzaddik, and Yosef is a tzaddik. That's it. This pasuk is Megale Yismach Tzaddik Chazal. Here on the page, in the art scroll, page 510 in Tehillim, is Yaakov Avinu is called a tzaddik. We know he's a tzaddik, but prove it. Where's the pasuk? This pasuk, Yismach Tzaddik Ki Chozo, he has seen his eyes opened up. He came back to life. Nokom, he saw his enikol, Chushim Ben Don, take off a sword and slice the head of Esav. And now his feet, the eyeballs rolled to the feet of the court of Yaakov Avinu, Pe'amav Yirchatz Bidam Horosha. Now that part of the Pasuk Chazal don't really explain very well. What does it mean that the eyes were full of blood and rubbed on his feet? It doesn't say that, but that's how they're interpreting it. Look what is over here in the words, and then we'll tell you a drush on this Chazal. Yismach tzadik ki chozon makom pe'amav yirchatz b'dam rasha kevon shegiu aroyner shal Yaakov Avinu l'ma'aras machpelo osa Esav kama akev. Esav was there and he said, no way, you're not burying him in my spot. Chushim, the Gemara goes further. He's condensing the Gemara. Chushim b'rei d'don. Chushim, the son of Don. Tamon hava, he was there. V'yakiron le'udne, he was hard of hearing and did not hear the conversation going on between the negotiations, who's going to be buried in the spot. V'chovdoi ozna mishmaya, Omar luhu, he said to them, my hai, what's the delay? What's the problem over here? V'amrule, they said to him, obviously he could hear, or amrule, they did communicate with him. Kama'akev hai ado osi naftali me'aro d'mitzrayim. He's holding up the show. He says that he's the Bukhar, and it's his spot, and he's not letting us bury Yaakov. And we told him we have a deed that he sold the Bukhara. We sent Naftali the sprinter. He won the gold medal for the fastest runner. We sent him back to Egypt to get the deed. Really? We have to wait until he gets back? It can take hours, it can take days. By the way, this Gemara is an incredible yisoid. Every word of the Gemara is halacha. That delaying burial is called a bezoyin hames. Is bezoyin hames. And that is why today, by Jews, Orthodox Jews, goyim very jealous, I think, of Klal Yisrael for this. But goyim today, when a person dies, they wait weeks. Weeks. What's the emergency?
Wait 3 days because Yashka rose on the third day. That's the general
forecast. By Christians.
Yeah.
But today you hear always hear about a famous person, a politician, or this one or that one, or some celebrity, a celebrity, and then I thought he died a long time ago. Yeah, now it's first the funeral, right? They delay. By Klal Yisrael, before you blink, Baruch Hashem, the person already is buried. And Al Pi Kabbalah. Okay, no one came back to tell us what goes on. The neshama has tsar, does not have menucha until stimas hagoylel, until it's buried, and the question is, what does that mean exactly? Rav Moshe is tremendous chidushim in this, incredible chidushim. Rav Moshe does not go with Kabbalah. Rav Moshe says the ikur bizoyin hames. Rav Moshe is very clear: is the body decays, the bizoyin is the decay of the body. And in the time of Chazal, there was no refrigeration. And as soon as a person dies, the body begins to get, especially if you're in a culture where it's warm, and it's disgusting. And in the mail, that's the bizoyon. L'mayin nafkamina, in America, it's a very sophisticated system where there's refrigeration, and the bizoyon is significantly diminished. Significantly diminish the bizoyin of the decay of the body, and therefore there's no emergency to bury a person mamish immediately in the middle of the night. There's no emergency. Obviously you still should be buried because of the Kabbalistic reasons, which many people do take very seriously, especially Hasidim, and that's why they bury. I feel one Yom Tov Rishon, Yom Tov Sheni, Yom Tov Rishon, the Akum Yom Tov Sheni Al Yidei Yisrael. And even at night, especially these Hasidim, they have private cemeteries that they totally control. They're outside the control of the unions, and they do the burials today.
You gotta pay a fortune though.
Oh, in a regular cemetery, you gotta pay a fortune. In a regular cemetery. But they have cemeteries in different places where it's totally under their control. The unions have totally private. And they have lights there, they light up the whole place, and they do it mamish. I don't know all the protein there. Also, there are laws, state laws, but it's an Eretz Yisrael for sure. But over here, it says something very important. It says, Yehi avi abba mutl bebezoi. Now, what's so important about this? Because Yaakov Avinu was embalmed. He was embalmed. And there's no, his body is not decaying. It says they did 70 days. What did they do? 30 days? I forgot the psukim. So his body was not decaying. It was not decaying. And yet the Gemara says these words, which are powerful words. There's no decay. Bishlam, you go to him, there's no refrigeration and the body is decaying, it's hot, and there's an odor, and there can be other disgusting problems. Okay, I understand. But Yaakov Avinu did not, forget about his Kedusha, forget about that. That Yaakov Avinu was a Kaddosh, his body wouldn't decay. Madach a Rebbe today, they'll tell you, his body doesn't decay. Allah has kam v'kama. But forget about that. He was embalmed. If he's embalmed, that means the body's not going to decay. And yet it goes, it says there's still bezoyin hames without decay. Okay, that's a very big chiddush. Moshe, of course, holds that should be buried right away. Of course, but he's saying is you don't have to get meshuggah. Don't get worked up. They're going to go charge you a crazy amount of money. It's not kedai to spend the money because you wait until the next day. You don't have to go break all the laws to go bury a person, to be pikuach nefesh, to bury the person. And if there's going to be more kavod that has spayed, then people can come from far away who want to come. So you can delay. Bezoyin hames. There's no bezoyin. The body's not decaying. They have refrigeration. So you wait until the morning, until the relatives can come. They can be kavod hames. They can be hespeid him. It's not an emergency. But over here, it does say such a chiddush. It says in the Gemara, in this Gemara, it's a very important yisoid. It says there's no decay of the body. And yet the Gemara says, Yehiye Abba Mutal Bezoyin? Okay, so what did he do? Good question. You asked the question that I never got a good answer to. Why is there no choice? It's like the Megillah. The Megillah. Why can't, like we said yesterday, why can't Achashverosh cancel the Gezerah? He could. He didn't want to. That's the answer. He could. It's not nice, because once a gzera, they all tell you in elementary school, because once the rule is, once the gzera is made, it can't be canceled. There's a rule. We're going to blow it. There's no rule. You made the gzera. There's a rule, so break the rule. Make an exception. You can cancel the gzera. He didn't want to. The Megillah makes it very, very clear. He didn't want to. Who? Achashverosh, who berishoy mitchiloso v'yatsoif. You can break the rules. They could have broken the rules for Yaakov Avinu not to embalm him. Why did they embalm him? I don't know. There must be some very good reason.
It's a different type of embalming.
Oh, you see, he's giving answers. A different type of embalming, what it means
now
exactly.
Now you're embalming, you're taking out all the bodily foods. And that's a big
it's
problem.
Still very different.
To keep all the bodily foods. They may be an embalming might just okay.
What is... So you're giving an answer. The question is still greater than what is the Torah telling you they did to him? They embalmed him? What is going on? It needs a good answer.
It took a few days to get from Mitzrayim to Eretz.
He's going to decay. His body's going to decay. You're right. You're saying very good.
Say you can embalm.
I don't know. You're right. I don't know. Today, what they do today, you gotta go do today. I don't know your idea. You gotta go look at Shulchan Aruch. You're right. I don't know the answer to any of these questions. To us today, it sounds very strange because there are people today that autopsy. Could you do an autopsy? Oh, people today, do they get worked up? Oh no, autopsy. They'll go to the other end of the world to go make sure there's no autopsy done because nivul hames. Nivul hames. So embalming is not nivul hames?
Maybe not.
I guess not. I don't know.
Well, it's not.
You're asking the wrong person.
Done, the original way that it was done is they had these utensils where they stuck through the nose and they pulled out the organs through the nostrils.
So that's not Nivel HaMeis, the holy Yaakov of Eden, to take out his organs?
You know, just this week,
I don't know.
The eyes of these two Pali children, not Pali, the two brothers who were killed, the coronas were used in...
Really?
Yeah.
The children, the Palais children?
No, not the Palais, the other two were killed in Shomron.
Really?
They were used for four people.
Wow, they live on.
So people were yelling, Nivel.
Organ donors, it's a big topic of an halacha, organ donors. Big topic. Okay, in any event, I don't know... All right. So this is so now on this. Okay, I want to finish up. On this chazal. So that's channel in this pasuk. Let's finish with the words. So he said the mother bezonos father v'shokal kulfa machye areshe. So what did he do? He took out his kulfa. What's a kulfa? A stick. It says machye areish machye areish. I thought it says somewhere else. Somewhere else. A saif. I guess not. Here it says. You have to go look. This is Gemara Masechta Soita. Coming up soon in the Daf Yomi, he took a kulfa, and the editor says it's a makel. Machye oresha, he gave him a zetz. Doesn't say child, it says the Esav, vaharogoy. Noshon eine de Esav, his eyes fell out. It does not say here in this Gemara that he chopped off his head. We have a tradition that his head is buried in the Maris Machpela because Chushim Dan sliced off his head. Maybe that's a Medrash, maybe that's a Yerushalmi, but in the Bavli, in this particular Gemara, Masechta Soita, it does not say that his head was severed. Here, at least, in this piece of Gemara, okay? Each
they
piece of Gemara,
the tree,
they show, they have a big case, the they have a whole thing.
Okay.
That's what they say his head is? Okay. The Nostron, now it says in this Gemara, it doesn't say that his head was severed. It says that he took a stick, gave him a zetz, and his eyeballs popped out. That's what it says. Yotsu Enei De'esav Naflu Akarei D'Yakov. Where did the fall? It fell on the legs. Akarei D'Yakov. Paschinu Yaakov Le'enei. Yaakov opened up his eyes. Va'achich, and he laughed. Va'hainu D'chsev. You don't believe me? Learn, go to the morning koil. And read what it says in Mizmar Nun Ches. Heinrich Sif, Yismach Tzadik, Yaakov will rejoice, he laughed. He chozo no kom, he saw vengeance. He saw Esav got what he deserved. Pa'omov, which means it's Raglav Yirchatz, he bathed Bidam HaRosha. Here we're calling Dam HaRosha. I don't know how you see that because the eyeballs landed near his legs, why we call that he bathed, I don't know, but that's what it says. You have to figure this out. Alright, now this is obviously there's a lot of Torah. There's a very famous Chaim Shmulevitz. There's a very question, how come only Chushim Ben Dan? How come no one else? There were a lot of people by the funeral. Only Chushim Ben Dan, only he was the one that took out a stick and gave him a zetz. No one else had the chutzpah to go give a zetz. So this is from Chaim Shmulevitz's question. He was a master of psychology, and he says it's because he was deaf. Because if you're not, because everyone else got used to it. He got used to it. It was a process. There was a conversation. When it's a conversation, you get used to something, so then, you know, you mellow. Chushim Ben Dan didn't hear. He was deaf. So he didn't get used to it. There was no conversation which he adapted and adjusted to. It was a shock. Shock? What are you doing? It was a gut reaction. He wasn't...
If he didn't hear the argument,
he wasn't...
If he heard the argument, then he would have said, hello, back.
I think he had just come back from his brother, his wife, the permission,
Chushim didn't go. Naftali ran. Okay, this is a very famous of Chaim Shmulevitz. He talks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was deaf for a reason. It's amazing that he had a purpose. It was whole, could you imagine he had a whole, Chushim Ben Dan, he was deaf. Could you imagine he must have tainus on Hashem? Who couldn't I, how could Hashem, how could you do this to me? You gave me a handicap. Gefarlich thing. Yet he is the one that eliminated the ultimate Rasha in this world. Esav HaRasha. He was the one that eliminated him. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why did it have to be that? Because he would, you can't answer all the questions. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu selected him and gave him a handicap so that he should, that should be the tool that will be necessary, that situation, for him to be the one to eliminate the Soinei Yisrael. There was a purpose. I mean, it's not much of, you tell this Rachman son to a purpose, a person who's deaf, it's not going to be much of a nechama to them. You know, it's tragic, but you get a teeny, every person in their life has problems. Why? Obviously, there's a reason, and it was necessary in order to achieve a certain goal. All right, but besides that, I wanted to tell you very quickly over here, is that Maise Ovoi Simin Labanim. Esav today is still around. Esav lives on today. We are now in Golus Edoim. Edoim, Seir, Amalek, they're still around. And we suffer. We suffer plenty. And why don't we just get up and get rid of Esav? They have enough nukes in Eretz Yisrael to wipe out the whole world. Mayor, how many nukes? Mayor's probably has the codes. Where is it? In what's it called? In Dimona? I remember I was once with my father in the car, my father's on Purim, and I was going to Mishachmana somewhere, and they were interviewing a big general from the Israeli, an ex-general from the Israeli army. I don't know how permission that he was talking about. They were talking about, does Israel have nuclear weapons? And this Israeli general, you know, they're not allowed to say. They, of course they have, but they're not allowed to say. He didn't speak good English. And he kept on saying, I'm telling you. And we have the bomb. Israel has the bomb. He kept on pronouncing the last B. You don't pronounce the bomb, the bomb, the bomb. He kept on pronouncing the last B because obviously it wasn't his first language. It wasn't.
In Yiddish, you also say a
bomba. A bomba. Bomba. They have the bomba. So, who is the one? Israel, if they want, they can wipe out the whole, all their enemies in a second. You don't want World War III. Maise Ovoi Simin Labanim. Who is the Pechusim? It's not a nice thing to say. We live in a very politically correct world today. Be very careful. But Chazal say that Shevet Don is the Pechusim Shebe Yisrael. So they say, I'm making it up. This Yehuda is the elite. Yehuda, who made the Mishkan? Bezalel and Oholiyav ben Achis Samach Lamat Hedon. Why Dafka Bezalel and Oholiyav? The most choshev of the Shvatim and the least choshev of the Shvatim. Don is the Maasef. He was the last one in line. They were the last one traveling, the stragglers behind. The Maasef L'chalamachan is the Pechusim, the lowest. Rabbi Shur, he always loves to talk about this topic, and that he always says that today we're all Gilgulim of Don. Now we're living in Ikvasa de Mashicha, just like in the procession of in the Midbar, the Masois, Shevet Don stood in the back. In the parallel world of time, leading up to Mashiach, this is the generation of Shevet Don. The Pechusim Shebeshvatim. The most shvach, the shvacher ones. Done, we're done. The door today leading into the coming of Mashiach, just like in the physical procession of traveling into Eretz Yisrael, done was in the very, very back. In time, leading to Mashiach, we are the door of done. And done, what is his child? We're not only we're the next generation. What? Chushim. We're all Chushim.
We're all the Chushim.
What is the handicap of Chushim? He's deaf. What do we say every day, twice a day? The most important part of davening. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So how come we don't hear that? How come this intermarriage is 80% in America? Because we're all deaf. We're not just done. We're Chushim Shebedon. We're done. We are the generation that is hard of hearing. We have a hard time hearing Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem. We are all Chushim Shebedan. But yet, you know who's going to kill Esav? Who's going to wipe out the Golas? Going to wipe out Edom? It's Chushim. Because the handicap of not understanding of what's the whole conversation, we don't have that problem. We have a Mila. That we, because we're hard of hearing, we have not been tainted by these complex arguments of why we should let Esav go in front of us. And the day will come when Klal Yisrael will one day just get up and give Esav a zetz, and Esav's eyes will pop out, and Yaakov Avinu, Klal Yisrael, will open up their eyes and smile.
Amen.
This is Maise Avoy Simin Labanim. We are in the generation of Chushim Shebedan. All right, we'll stop here. Tomorrow, we'll do all of us. Tomorrow, we're running out of time. It's way too late. It's way too late tomorrow. I went to his Levaya that Taliban.